How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic.
There's a crash on Kellogg westbound approaching Hillside Street. The 10-minute backup goes to Woodlawn. Lincoln is an alternate. It's stop and go on I-235 south, heading onto K-96 east. The delays begin at Broadway. And watch for construction on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 35th Street, which is causing a backup to the I-35 overpass. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Partly cloudy, windy, and hot again today with a high up near 90, south to southwest winds 20 to 30 and gusty. Chance of storms after 4 o'clock, especially along and east of the turnpike. Some of those could become severe, then breezy and clearing overnight. 62 is the low. Becoming mostly sunny, breezy, a little bit cooler Wednesday, high 80. Back over to mostly sunny skies and 85 on Thursday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Basically, get out of the way.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
You know, I'm watching the game, and I found myself rooting for South Carolina because of the way they played. They were playing great. They were playing hard. But if UConn won and continued to win, you know, and then matched up with UCLA, I would have been fine with that. But once again, I'm rooting for the story. And I thought Dawn Staley's team put on a defensive clinic. This is where you have a team that is not in tight games the entire year. They're probably not roughed up the entire year. They're not pushed. Nobody ripped anybody's jersey. That was Sarah Stronger, did that to herself. But Gino, when he did that interview with Holly Rowe, I go, oh, he knows he's in trouble. And I thought, South Carolina's going to win this game.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
I listen on the app. I usually listen to the radio, like, on my app.
Love the app. 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Shout out to Crestview Country Club, where this guy who can fire under a 10 on 18 at the Masters, a shot a 92 on the South Course Friday. Huh. Best round I've played this year, but probably pretty close to where I'm at when I'm playing my best, is around that low 90s range.
I think sometimes I can go sub 90. Maybe we need to find the most comparable hole that 18 would be. Is there like a giant par 4?
I looked this up during the break. So I've had the opportunity to play, it's called the Vaquero in the DFW area, which is one of the more highly renowned golf courses in the world. Now, partly, I don't know if it's because the difficulty of the course, but it's really nice. I looked it up. It says it's considered a challenging high-end course with fast greens and zoysia grass fairways, creating a tough test. And those greens are fast and they are hilly. I went out there and played. Now, this was probably the first round I played all year. This would have been in February. And I shot like 125. And I played terrible and shot like a 125. If I was, you know, more in the groove or whatever, like warmed up, I guess, for the year, I probably would shoot around 100 or 105 or something there. So, but the other thing about that place is when you play, you have to have a caddy. So when you have a caddy and they're telling you where to putt, I didn't suck because my putts were terrible. I sucked because I would hit one in the water or I would, you know. That hole doesn't have water. If 18 had water, I would never take this challenge. If you remember back to your original question on this, I said, I think I could do it at least half the time. So you're giving me two chances on this hole to go shoot a 9 or under on a par 4, the 18th at Augusta. No water. I just am telling you, nobody has given themselves enough credit on this. Like, this is one of those things. Oh, the Masters is so difficult. You could never make a putt in less than 5. Like, yes, you could make a putt in less than 5. C- Come on. Like, we see courses on tour that won't see 13 under as your final score winner. We do this because it's Augusta. And the grass is greener and the birds are prettier and the flowers are nicer because it's Augusta. We do this with it. We do this. Like, there are U.S. Opens that would create more challenges than 18 in Augusta.
I agree. I think the bigger question to have here, this is what I was going to say, is that we need to get to Crestview. We need to find a hole that's, if you tipped it out from the Wichita Open tees, is about 460, five,
played it as a par push, four.
Pushing 500 and play it as a par four from wherever that may be. Yeah. But the trick here, and to push back on your thing, is that we need to get the listeners and line the fairways, because that's the thing that nobody's
screaming
thinking about.
At me, screaming, you know, mashed potatoes. Yeah. But you can't do it while I'm swinging. But you also have to give me a caddy. So you're going to have to give me, one of our buddies in the pro shop there's got to be able to come out and tell me where to put it.
That's fine. But I'm telling you, I think the part that we're overlooking here is that, like, your tee shot is going 215, like you're saying. But, man, you've got the skinniest opening you've seen in your life.
No, I get
Lined with the patrons.
I may choose to play it different, too. I mean, I don't know what I would do yet. But I'm most of the time in my round, my drive is the most consistent down the middle. Like, that would be the shot that worried me the least. The shot that worried me the most would be duffing an 8-iron.
That's my point. And to what you're saying about what people are making too big of a to-do that it's Augusta, like, we're overplaying it a little bit. Like, I think I could do this at McDonald Golf Course, and I'd still, like, if I had 1,000 people playing next to Scottie Scheffler, like, I don't care what course it is. Like, yeah, it's not about the putting. The putting doesn't help.
I've never played in that kind of environment. I have no idea how I would.
That's the biggest thing to me.
That part I'm not sure on.
And I don't think that it's Augusta. I think that it's like just a, I don't think it matters about the course. I think it's the fact that can you hold it?
It's Augusta, because that's the only reason we're making a big deal about this.
If I said the tour championship,
this is the tour championship, could you come in on 18 and shoot a 9 or better on a par 5? Like, we wouldn't do that. It's because it's Augusta, and everybody wants to make this.
I know.
Why I wouldn't do well there.
But my point is that you're right, is that, like, you could hand pick and say, like, what if this was Pinehurst? Like, what if this was, you know, any of them that you want to say, like, it doesn't matter what course it is. I think that it's not an Augusta question. I think that it's a question of, like, can you hold a 6-stroke lead over the number one player in the world with 1,000 people breathing down your neck? If you hit one out of bounds, if you take a drop, you're done. Like, no matter what course you're playing on, I think that that's fair. If you take a drop, you lose.
Right. If there was water on this hole, the reason that I typically go nuclear on a hole, which is what you're counting on here, to not be able to shoot a 9 on a par 4 that you've absolutely just ruined your day, is because of water. Yeah. The hole that gets me into that kind
of trees.
Trouble at Crestview, it's not usually trees for me. It's water. At least with trees, there's, what, a 50% chance you get lucky and it bounces back in the fairway?
If you have a caddy, you could probably find your ball, too. People aren't talking about that. That's usually what kills me, is that I lose my balls.
But yes, that's what it's water that would make me never even want to try this. Because you put me on, what hole is that at Crestview North? 7?
With the water, I don't think I've ever gotten less than a triple on that hole.
I don't even ever try to clear the water, but in your head that it's sitting there.
That's my point of all this stuff.
I'll hit every fairway, and I cannot hit that fairway to save my life, and it's the biggest fairway out there.
Yes, that's my point in all this stuff, is that, like, it doesn't matter what course you're playing on, but, like, if you have that thought in your head, it's the perfect example. You play 7 at Crestview, you're like, there's the water right there. I'm going to lay up to avoid the water, and then you shank it into the water. Like, just because you're thinking, like, that's my point, is that, like, okay, I have to go straight down this fairway. There's trees on both sides of me. All I have to do is just lay up and hit it straight. It's like, boom, off the toe, you just lost. That's got to shit. Like, that's my point here and all this stuff. Like, I think you could line up. I think you could line up 100 people, and I bet that 15 people are only going to win this challenge.
Not if they're you got to line up 100 people that are
190
handicaps.
Yes.
15 out of 100, no chance. It's way more than that. Way more than that. It's one hole that you're shooting nine or better. If you shot that poorly on every hole, you'd be shooting a 180. That you're not shooting a 180.
I know you're not. But if I was playing tour conditions with patrons and lining the fairways and Scotty Scheffler trying to come back, I'd probably shoot a 180.
Scotty Scheffler's in the clubhouse. You've already known what he's shooting. He's not coming after
no,
you.
No. That's not the hypothetical. You're playing with Scotty Scheffler.
But you know what you have to score.
You're in the final. Well, no, you don't. You just have a 6-stroke lead over him. You're in the final pairing with him. So that's the thing here is that he could birdie it. He could eagle it if he wanted to hole out. You know what I mean? Like, he could birdie this hole very reasonably.
Okay, well, we're having two different conversations.
That was the original conversation.
That I got to shoot nine or better.
Well, that's what you think you have to do to beat Scottie Scheffler. But the original question is, you just have a 6-stroke lead.
Seven and a triple bogey, then we're having a totally different conversation.
Well, is Scottie Scheffler going to triple bogey?
I don't know what Scottie Scheffler's going to do. The conversation we've been having for a week is, can you feel nine or better on 18?
I know, but that's where it all stemmed from. You're playing alongside Scottie Scheffler. He's next to you. He's hitting. And you think, like, I don't even know. Let's look what he did. I haven't pulled up.
He seems like a nice guy. I'd probably ask him where to putt.
I mean,
Scotty, what is this green going to do to me? I'd play with Scotty like I'd play with you. You know,
I agree.
Nice putt.
Let's see. He par. Okay, he parred it all 4 days.
Yeah, so you got to shoot nine or better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say half the time we could do that. Half the time you can shoot nine or better on 18 from the tips at Augusta. Not 15% of the time. That's crazy to me. I could be wrong. I mean, I'll say
like, oh man, I still don't feel calm. If you gave me 20 chances, I could do it one time and beat him probably.
No.
Maybe twice.
Because if 20 chances, you know how the hole plays. Now you know how the putts go. Now you know how the green works. You're just going to get your chances are going to go up every time. Now I know that I need to take a little off or hit a different club so I don't end up in a Sam
but
trap.
But then, see, this is where you're not thinking like a 20 handicapper here. This is to me where, you know, the thing where it's like the hole in one challenges or whatever. It's like you can't leave until you hit the hole in one. After I missed 100, like, I'm getting discouraged. Like, I don't even remember how to hit a golf ball anymore. Like, on my 19th time going out there and hitting into the woods every time, I'd be like, I don't know. I have the yips now. I don't even know where to hit this thing.
I mean, the thing that always comes back to for me is when I play, like, just like you're talking about, just awful, where, like, I can't hit a damn shot all day. I look down at my scorecard at the end of the day, and it might be like 118, 120. And that's when I play horrible, horrible golf in bad conditions. I just don't even know what to do anymore. I'll look down and it's like 120. The level of golf you're talking about playing, you'd be at like 180.
Yeah.
And I just don't think there's any world where it's that bad all the time.
I'm just telling you, it's a question of your mental fortitude is what, and maybe some people are tougher than others. And that's what my point is. But if I'm going up there, my knees are shaking.
Maybe so, but there's not water. Like, so, you know, at that point, that's the big danger is the drops. And if you don't have the drops as in play on that hole, if you told me this and I had to play it, I'm not good like some people at the water hole. So it'd be 17, 16. Is it 15? I think it's 15 at Crestview, the island green. So if you backed that one up to a distance, because that green is nasty too. If you backed that one up all the way to the tips and you got into that scenario where like, okay, now I'm hitting into an island green that it can roll off of.
Oh man, if you're making me play, I don't even know a water hole on. What's a water hole on the map?
That is like, that's where I'm in big trouble, because that's where I have to start dropping, and that's where I lose strokes like crazy. So without that being in play as much on 18, where it's like, really, you just have to make sure you don't shank your driver that biggest risk for some people is not, it doesn't happen to be my biggest risk. Yeah. My biggest risk is not shanking my driver. My biggest risk is A, hitting into the water because I put a magnet in my ball.
Yeah, I agree.
Being a terrible putter. Because I am a terrible putter.
If you gave, I always think about this. I can't remember what hole it is, but like 17 at Crestview in the open with the grandstands, like hypothetical. I'm just making up a hole. Hole is hard. Imagine if there's water short of that and you have to play open tees.
So screwed.
If I'm getting my driver out and I'm hitting into the grandstands as hard as I can.
Bank shot. Yeah.
Yes. Like
100%.
That's what I do. Like I would do it every single time because if you're making me hit from the Masters tees over water, it's going in every single time.
What are the front?
I would take a 20 on that hole.
Here's another challenge for me on 18 and I'm just not aware. Are those like Flint Hill National bunkers where you're looking at a wall in front of you if you get in that bunker?
Most of them are. Are they
that like deep?
Well, this is the other thing that we have to take into
I would have to hit backwards out of that because I don't have – I can't get it over those lips. So I'd have
Yeah. I mean, Rory did that. Yeah, Rory was in the 18 bunker.
Rory lived in the sand.
Yeah, Rory was in the 18 bunker. It's not quite the worst one on the course, but –
I wouldn't like Rory will take a shot at the hole out of the bunker. I would just make sure I got it out of the bunker.
Thing to talk about though, Jacob, is it
three swings out of the bunker just to try to get it out of the bunker. That would kill me.
Your second shot, your layup after your drive. Now you've got fairway bunkers in play. If you hit one of those, you're done.
I don't know that you're done. That's what I'm asking. Is that cliff in front of you?
No, but you can't get it to the green from there.
No, I can't get it to the green. So there's a stroke, right? I would have to chip it out of the bunker.
Then you'd be up in five, and then you'd have to basically two putt, three putt. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, 50% of the time, I said I could do it half the time. I think I could do that. And everyone's calling me crazy. And I think everyone's not giving themselves enough credit. If you're a 20 handicapper, like I ask good golfer, I ask Tommy's a great golfer. Compared to us. And he was like, oh, no way. And I'm like, yeah, right. Yes, you could. You for sure could. With a caddy. You got a caddy. Like the one putting that I push thing, back you on, have a caddy the, telling you where to putt it.
The putting one always kills me because it's just like, could you start on the green and win? It's like, so you're asking me if I can just three putt every hole? Like, I'm going to get lucky and two putt some of them, right? Like,
Yes. Yeah, you'll also putt some off, but not if you know you can't, right? Because then you're just doing it.
I would be very conservative and just aim for three putts every single time. I'm not going to try to make my first putt ever.
Never.
I'm just going to try to get on the right level of the green and then try to get lucky on the second one.
Can you call Augusta National and see if we can come set this up, please?
Just ask them, hey, can you call up some random 20 handicapper and get them out there?
If there is one person less likely to get at Augusta National to do anything than me, it's Max. So Max, give them a call and see what they say.
Max will call obscenities.
Yeah. Yes, he will. All right. Real quick, we'll talk Royals next segment. We got about 2 or 3 minutes here. Just a recap for people on the portal. Nothing of significance that we saw. For KU, K-State did add a couple players. I would say, TJ, the most significant thing we saw was Momcilovic going in. I'd be surprised if he's in play for KU. Now, we don't know, because if he's going to the draft, it's going to be a minute, right? It's still another 2 weeks before those guys pull their names out.
Yeah, it's late. Yeah, I mean, it's next month, it's I believe.
Mid-May, so maybe it's more like 3 or 4 weeks. I think it's mid-May.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that you can bank on that, but I think you at least have those conversations and say, hey, would you be interested if, you know, because then maybe it is a situation where you're waiting on Stokes and you know you're going to have X number of dollars to throw at somebody. There are going to be a few guys pull their names back, but KU's, it would just like what Louisville did, and nobody's making a ton of moves yet. We're being silly with this because there are tons of guys still in the portal. It's just that KU, we're making hype videos about the return of Cole Rosario at this point. And that's no offense to Cole Rosario. I'm very glad he's back, and I think he's going to help KU. But that's where we are right now. hey, fans, get excited. Cole Rosario's back. And it's like, ooh, okay.
Yep.
He played about 5 minutes a game last year. All right. That's a big ask. And then Paul Embiid, Cole Rosario and Paul Embiid, Jayhawks, everybody. That's why we're, I think, a little bit nervous on that. You've got Wichita State, and most people, most KU fans don't care what Wichita State does. But for us and for, you know, people that just like all of it, Wichita State's had a great portal, the best portal probably they've ever had. K-State's getting some names now where you're like, okay, yeah, I could see that. I can at least see a plan. We don't even know what the plan is for KU. We have no idea what the plan is. Is the plan just wait on Tyron Stokes and pick up the leftovers? I don't know. That's where we are with the portal. Nothing else of major significance. When we come back, the Royals get back at it today. We'll talk about it next.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.